Welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you're with us today. And I hope you had a nice Labor Day weekend. And we're going to get into the study of the Word of God today. Now, remember what we study here at Lon Solomon Ministries. Say it with me. The Bible. Come on. Come on. The Bible. The whole Bible. And nothing but the Bible. Right? Then we apply it to our life. Okay. Now, we're going to pick up today in Luke chapter 24, where we left off last week. And folks, here's the question. Where did the disciples get their hermeneutic for writing the New Testament? Where did they get their understanding of the Scripture, the Old Testament, to quote it so many times in the New Testament, and sometimes to quote it when it's somewhat obvious, we'll talk about that, and sometimes to quote it where it's not that obvious that it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ? Where did they get that hermeneutic and that understanding? For what we're going to talk about today, you may be surprised at the answer. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, open our hearts and our minds that we might understand your word today. Illuminate our spirits, God, that we might grasp the spiritual truths that are in your word, your holy word. And God, anoint me as I teach it, that I might teach it with conviction and power and authority that comes from you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Yeah. Okay. Are you ready to dig in now? All right, here we go. Luke 24. Jesus has been resurrected, and he has met up with two men walking on the road to Emmaus, a small village to the northwest of Jerusalem, 7 miles or so. And he's had a conversation with them. And I want you to go back with me. Let's review it just a little bit. Okay, Luke chapter 24, verse 17. And he said to them, what manner of conversation is this that you're having with one another as you walk and you're sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days? And Jesus said to them, what things? And they didn't know who he was yet. And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. So, number one, we said this is review last week. Everybody knew about Jesus' miracles and his mighty works, okay? And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they have crucified him. Number two, everybody knew about the crucifixion. Number three, but we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. Number three, they knew about his claim to be the Messiah, and they were hoping he would fulfill messianic prophecy from the Old Testament. Number four, and besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. They were expecting the resurrection. He had told them in 3 days he would rise. Tear this temple down, in 3 days I will rebuild it, John chapter 2. That's number four. Yes, and certain women of our company who were at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Number five, they knew about the empty tomb and that Mary had gone there and the angels had told her Jesus had risen. And number six, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but him, Jesus, they did not see. And finally, they knew about John and Peter running to the tomb and finding at the tomb the grave clothes of the Lord Jesus. I told you it was like he was mummified in this cocoon of scented cloth, finding it like an empty cocoon, but no one had ripped it up, meaning Jesus's body has simply osmosed right through the bandages. And then they found the head cloth, the napkin over his face, folded up neatly and on the shelf. And they knew about that, and they understood that whatever happened in that tomb was not of man. There was something supernatural that had happened in that tomb, the resurrection. They knew all six of these pieces of information, these guys did. And this was the very same day that Jesus had risen. So it didn't take long for this news to spread. And they say to him, respectfully, did you just get here? Or did you just land in Jerusalem? How do you not know about this? This is front page news everywhere. How do you not know about this? Right? Okay. Then Jesus said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now watch. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and all the prophets, the rest of the Old Testament, he, Jesus, expounded to them, explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And if you look down a little farther, you'll find they said to one another, verse 32, when they finally realized who Jesus was, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Okay, this is the end of our passage for today. This is a rich chapter. We're going to be here several more weeks. But what I want you to see for today is that Jesus, when he made himself known to these two disciples walking along the road, what did he do? He took the Old Testament scriptures, because the Bible calls them the scriptures, but the New Testament didn't exist yet. So these were the Old Testament scriptures in which Jesus said the prophets have spoken about the Messiah, and he explained it to them. He exegeted it to them. He exposited it to them. As this version of the scripture says, he expounded it to them. And they say later, wasn't our heart burning when he was explaining to us the scripture? And he didn't explain to them why Abraham lied about Sarah and called her his sister. And he didn't explain all of that. Look what he explained. He explained in all the scripture, verse 27, the things concerning himself. So he took them through the scripture and he said, you see this verse? Talking about me. Hey, see that verse? Talking about me. Hey, you see this? Talking about me. And when we pick up the companion book to Luke, which is the book of Acts that Luke wrote as well, listen to what Luke says. Verse 1, the former account, that is the Gospel of Luke, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom, the apostles, he presented himself alive after suffering on the cross by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days, watch and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So here's what we find out. We find out that after the Lord rose from the dead the third day, I think many of us, I did for a long time, just kind of believed that day or the next day, Acts chapter 1 happened and he ascended into heaven. Not so. Luke says in Luke chapter 1 that for 40 days, Jesus stayed here on earth teaching the apostles. What did he teach them? Well, in Luke 24, it says he taught them everything the scriptures said about himself. And in Acts chapter 1, it says that he taught them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 40 days. And if you look in John chapter 20, John confirms that Jesus stayed around for a while. Look at this. Verse 24. But Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side where the spear was shoved, I will not believe." Verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut. And then, of course, he said, "Put your fingers in my hands, put your hand in my side, and don't be faithless, but be believing." So that was 8 days later. So John confirms that Jesus was appearing and being with his disciples, like Luke said, for 40 days. Now, let's stop there and ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on now, here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Oh, yeah. Now, what is it I want you to take home today from our lesson? Very simple. I want you to take home that the hermeneutic that the apostles used to write the New Testament, the hermeneutic, the interpretive approach they used to know what scriptures in the Old Testament applied to the Lord. Remember, we've said there were more than 30 Old Testament scriptures about the Lord Jesus that he fulfilled every single one of them. And the odds of that is 1 × 10 with 100 zeros, the probability. As I've told you, I don't have enough faith to go against that probability and disbelieve that he is the Messiah. Where did they get the hermeneutic? Where did they get the understanding that this verse and that verse and this verse and that passage apply to Christ? Where did they get it? You say, well, Lon, some of them are obvious, right? Like when Jesus is on the cross and they cast lots for his robe. Psalm 22, they cast lots for my clothing. That one's easy, right? It is. And how about the one where the Old Testament says they offered me vinegar for my thirst? That one's easy. That's what they did on the cross. And how about the one in Psalm 22 that says they pierced my hands and my feet? Okay, that's pretty easy. But there are a lot more that the apostles quote as being fulfilled by Christ. You would not immediately connect this to the Lord Jesus. You say, like what? Okay, let's look at a couple. Back in Matthew chapter 2, you remember the father and mother of the Lord Jesus, Joseph and Mary, had to flee to Egypt to keep him from being killed by Herod the Great. Well, when they came back, here's what the Bible says. And behold, Verse 13, when they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek to destroy the young child. So he arose, Joseph did. He took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through his prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Okay, now that's Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. You go back and read Hosea 11, verse 1, and you would never know that out of Egypt I have called my son. In context there in Hosea, was speaking of the Lord Jesus. You'd never figure that out. Okay, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus started doing his miracles up north and around the Sea of Galilee, which had been the territory of two of the tribes, Zebulun and Naphtali, two of the 12 original tribes of Israel. Look, watch. Because of the miracles that were going on, it says that Jesus dwelt in Capernaum up by the Sea of Galilee, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness saw a great light, and to those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Now, that's in the book of Isaiah. Would you immediately figure out that this applies to the Messiah when you read it? I don't think so. How about in Matthew chapter 8, where after Jesus cast out demons and heals people? Verse 17, look, says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. You say, oh, I might have figured that one out from Isaiah 53. Okay, maybe you would have. How about in Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus started speaking in parables to the apostles? And here's what Matthew says, verse 34. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parable, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. This was in Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, you go back to Psalm 78, and I guarantee you, in context, you will not immediately think that had anything to do with Jesus. Now, how about in Matthew chapter 21, where Jesus cast the money changers out of the temple? And he said to them, verse 13 of chapter 21, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Would you immediately connect that with the ministry of the Lord? Or how about a little farther down, verse 16, during the triumphal entry, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Psalm 8. On and on we could go. The point is, where did the apostles get their understanding, their hermeneutical approach, to know that all these particular verses applied to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, okay, they're not so obvious. The Holy Spirit, as they were writing the scripture, revealed it to them directly. Is that possible, Lon? Absolutely, that's possible. Absolutely. But I don't think that's how they got it. You say you don't? No. Don't you remember what we read? How Jesus sat down with Cleopas and his traveling companion and explained to them from the scripture the things concerning himself that were in the Old Testament, and how for 40 days he schooled the apostles in the scripture and the things that applied to the kingdom of God. This is where they got it, my friends. They went to the school of the risen Christ. For 40 days, they went to school every day, or so I think, with the risen Christ. And he sat there and opened the Old Testament scripture and taught them, okay, see that verse over here, out of Egypt, I've called my son, Hosea 11:1, talking about me and my coming back from Egypt. See that scripture here that talks about speaking in parables to the crowd? Applies to me. You see that scripture here and there and out of the mouth of babes and there? All applies to me, as well as the ones you can easily figure out, like they pierced his hands and his feet, like they cast lot, Psalm 22, for his clothing. You understand? That's where they got it. That's how they knew these scriptures were messianic. And friends, that's how you can know they're messianic. The apostles just didn't have a bolt of lightning as they were writing the New Testament. They had been schooled. They had been educated. They had been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. He expounded the scripture. He taught the scripture. He exegeted the scripture. He exposited the scripture to them for 40 days. And they were in there taking notes, I'm sure. And what else he taught them, who knows how much he taught them. But they, for 40 days, went to the school of the risen Christ. There was no tuition. Thank God, the way it is today. No tuition. And you had to be invited to come to school. But for the people who were following him and are going to lead the Christian faith, he taught them. Now, that's what I want you to take home with you today, which means that you can trust the New Testament, because it didn't come from simply guys sitting down and hearing what they thought might be the Holy Spirit talking to them, or they weren't taken over, I don't believe, in some cosmic way and became automatons that just wrote as the scripture, as the Spirit. And then I think there was some of that, but where did they get most of it? From the Lord Jesus. For 40 days, did he go back and review his ministry? I think he did. Did he go back and remind them of all the things he wanted to go into the Bible? I think he did. Did they sit and talk and Peter hit John in the ribs and go, hey, you remember when the Lord did this, John? And the Lord said to Peter, okay, John, that's one I want to go. I want that to be one of the things you put in your gospel. And maybe they were talking in about some other event, and Jesus said, no, I don't want you to put that in. I want you to put this in your gospel. Who knows? He might have even dictated the basic outline of the gospel to them that they were to write right there during those 40 days. I don't know what he taught them. How cool would it be to go to school and have your teacher be the risen Lord Jesus Christ for 40 days? And that's why we believe the book, because the book didn't come from the disciples. The book came from the risen Christ and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the book. And I thank you, Lord, for the fact that the book is not of man. Yes, a human hand wrote it, but it was dictated and taught and expounded and explained to the authors by the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And that's how we can trust the book. And Lord, thank you so much for reassuring us of this. and that if we will simply trust what the book says, that we will have our sins forgiven and we will go to heaven when we leave here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Oh, and wait a minute. No, don't leave yet, because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, that works fine for the Gospels, but what about all Paul's writings, huh? He didn't go to the school of Christ for 40 days. No, you know what he did? He went to the school of the living Christ for 3 years. The Bible tells us that for 3 years, he was out in the Arabian desert alone after he left Damascus, before he came to Jerusalem. What went on out there in the desert? Well, one of the things, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, is he was caught up into paradise, the third heaven, and saw things that he wasn't even allowed to come back and talk about. That's one of the things that happened during this stint in the Arabian desert. But I'm convinced that he went to the school of the risen Christ out there for 36 months. And all that he wrote in the epistles, they all came from the Lord. The Lord taught him all of this out there in the wilderness when he and Paul were alone. You probably didn't know Paul had this stint in the desert just alone with the Lord, but he did. Let me show you, just as we close, Galatians chapter 1. Paul says, I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me when I first left Damascus, watch, but I went to Arabia and then returned to Damascus. Verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. He was out in the Arabian desert for 3 years, Paul says. Then he came back to Damascus, and then he came to Jerusalem to meet Peter. So, and of course, John was on the island of Patmos when he wrote the book of Revelation, and it's clear from Revelation chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus appeared to him, and that angels appeared to him and said, this is exactly what you're to write. Friends, the whole New Testament came from people being in the school of the risen Lord. Praise the Lord. Put your faith in it. Put your trust in it. Put your confidence in it. Ride what it says like a surfboard out past the grave and into eternity, and you will end up taking the next breath on the shores of heaven. Jesus said, John 6:47, he who believes in me, 5 words, has eternal life. 8 words. Those are the 8 words we ride into eternity. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. Believe the Bible. It came from the risen Lord.